If you don't use the cart return, you have no one to blame but yourself. When Bobby Carpenter comes for you. Carpenter and Rothman.
All right, welcome back. Super Bowl in the books. 54 is history. And now all of a sudden we move on, because that's what we do when we talk NFL draft. We do it with Lance Zierlein, who covers the NFL draft for NFL.com. He's on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Lance, welcome back. How you been?
Doing good. How you doing, guys?
Good. We talked briefly about this, and we'll get your opinion on it. So it appears the draft starts at 3, correct? It's Burrow and Young, no doubt. Or are you anticipating something crazy at the top?
Well, I mean, I never say no doubt, but, yeah, I feel like that's – I feel like that with Tua's injury, it takes out the potential Joe versus Tua, because I think that's a real discussion to have. You've got a one-year guy with Joe Burrow who does not have a big arm and played in a scheme that he's unlikely, you know, to be able to take advantage of on a full-time basis in the pros. And then, you know, Tua with a much bigger body of work. But if Tua had been healthy, I think there is a legitimate discussion about which guy is going to be the top quarterback moving forward. But with that injury, I just think there's too many – I think there's too many red flags right now to say that the Cincinnati Bengals would consider a quarterback with, you know, with that type of injury here in early February. Let's see how it plays out after Combine. For right now, I think most mocks you'll see will be Burrow 1 and obviously Chase Young 2. And anyone thinking about passing up on Chase Young at 2 is, I mean, you know, don't overthink it.
You know, as we start talking about, you know, the body of work, I mean, Joe Burrow was a 2-year starter at LSU, and essentially Tua was a 2-year starter at Alabama. I mean, he was injured even during some of that time. So, I mean, his body of work on pure games played is probably equivalent, if not smaller. Do you think it's the injury that would be holding him back and the uncertainty among that as opposed to the film?
Oh, yeah.
Or, okay, so it's more of the injury issue.
Yeah, but I got to tell you now, the film is not, you know, people have this anticipation. Once you really grind in on all the throws, not just the highlight stuff, not, you know, what you find out is Joe Burrow struggles to throw intermediate throws outside the numbers. He was 21 of 43 this year. And this year he threw, you know, he had a record amount of completion, a record completion percentage. He was 21 of 43. Pro throws outside the numbers intermediate. That's not his throw. He doesn't throw well field side. That's not what he's, you know, going to be good at doing. And he found an offense that allowed him not to have to make that throw much this year. With Tua, you don't always get the anticipation you want. You don't always see him recognize his third read and in his progression and guys running open. So I don't think either guys are as clean as people might believe them to be. Different people might believe them to be. But with Tua, you've now had 2 high ankle procedures and a shattered hip in what amounts to less than, you know, he had that in less than 13 months. That's a lot to take on for a guy who's a dual threat quarterback and who feels comfortable getting outside of the pocket. So with Tua, I think the medicals need to check out, and then you have to be comfortable that he can stay healthy.
Well,
and so
that, yeah,
real quick,
on,
when you look at that, the third quarterback, then Justin Herbert, and the guy looks as pretty as can be. But to me, there's, you know, a little bit of Josh Allen style inconsistency in some of his accuracy. Like, there'll be stretches where he looks phenomenal, and then there's stretches where he kind of, I think, looks like he, you know, he'll put some in the dirt or Earl Merrill ball that, like, just shouldn't happen. Like, where do you kind of see him falling, and what do you think the gap is between those top two guys and then potentially him?
So I think it's a little, wider gap between those two guys and him. I think he, you know, my grade is more of a kind of a late first on him, a, you know, 20 to 25 range. He'll go earlier than that. I recognize that, but the problem I have is in your three big games, you got a rivalry game against Oregon State that you need, you know, at that particular time, a game against Utah, and then a game against against Wisconsin, obviously. Those are three games. He didn't get 200 yards passing in any of those three games. That speaks to some of the inconsistency you're talking about. Now, he had 3 rushing touchdowns, which is great against Wisconsin, but I want to see him consistently whip people from the pocket. And, you know, here's another criticism I got from a couple NFL teams. They said, go watch as much tape as you want and come back and tell us how many off-schedule plays he made outside of the pocket with his arm. And you can find him with Joe Burrow. You can find him with Tua. But that was a pretty valid point. You don't see a lot of off-schedule improv plays. And so, you know, one of the knocks on him is he is a little bit mechanical. When you're mechanical sometimes, when things aren't just the way you need them, that leads to what you're talking about. Inconsistency with your reads, inconsistency with your timing, inconsistency with your accuracy.
He's Lance Zierlein, covers the NFL draft for NFL.com. I think those are unbelievably good insight into both those guys. Tua for sure has to. He talks about winning the scouting combine. Winning in his mind might be at a different bar than even the scouts are expecting. Justin, I like those comments, but what about, and I don't know where Jordan Love fits for you, the kid out of Utah State, and I mean, is he a lock first rounder, or is that reaching?
I don't think he's a lock, but I do think he could be the fourth quarterback into the first round. The problem is, who are you drafting? Are you going to draft the 2018 Jordan Love, who, you know, I thought was maybe right behind Tua in terms of talent that I watched this summer? I thought Love showed a lot of what I wanted to see this summer. And then all of a sudden, now let's put this in perspective. He had 20 touchdowns, 17 interceptions this year. Not good at all. Tape, not good. Showed some immaturity after the season was over as well. Let's factor this in. New head coach, new offensive coordinator, 4 new offensive line starters, 2 new wide receivers, a new tight end, and a new running back. That might be the most turnover I've ever heard for a guy who was considered a first-round prospect headed into the season. Now, my counter to that would be, well, you still have to make plays, you still have to elevate, and there's still a level of functional play that I expect from a quote-unquote face of the franchise, because if you're being drafted in the first round, whether you like it or not, there's a chance you're going to end up being the face of the franchise, and you're definitely going to get somebody an extension or fired based on, you know, their selecting of you in the first round. And so that body of work, you know, 18 and then 19 on tape, man, that's a little inconsistent for me personally to reach into the first round. So I'd have to get to know the kid. I'd have to watch him at combine. I'd have to have him at an individual, you know, workout. I would want to see how he does on the whiteboard. I would want as much insight into his personality and leadership traits as possible to feel good enough to ignore the 19 tape and trust the 18 tape.
We're talking to Lance Zierlein covering the NFL draft here, breaking down all things quarterbacks and Buckeyes. And since, you know, you look at Chase Young, a lot of people see him slotted in at number 2, Lance. And then there's a lot of momentum, I think, for Jeffrey Okuda to potentially be the next guy off the board, you know, given his size, speed, and being a lockdown corner. Where do you potentially see him going? Is it the Lions? Do you think there could be a fairly large fluctuation in how teams evaluate him?
No, I don't think there's going to be much of a – the only way it fluctuates is if the quarterbacks shoot up the boards. That's the only way, because he's the top corner. He's a guy that carries, you know, I'm hearing rumors from training that he's carrying like high threes body fat. I mean, you know, ridiculous stuff. Long arms. He's going to run in the mid 4.4s is what I'm hearing, somewhere between 4.42 and 4.45. If that's the case, he just solidifies it. He doesn't always trust the eyes. He's not always as instinctive as you'd like, yet he's super twitchy. He's long. He's really aggressive. And, boy, he's got what it takes to become a ball hawk as long as he starts to trust his eyes and starts to play with a little more anticipation. Guys like that don't grow on trees. So you get a cornerback like that, you don't let them get beyond the top 5 picks. Not usually. Not unless the quarterbacks are special. And I don't know if you're going to say that right now about Tua with what we talked about with Herbert. So I think Okuda, I'd be shocked if he gets beyond number 4, to be honest with you, because the Giants could use some corner help. And we know that number 3 is a spot that makes a lot of sense for him. And, you know, I don't know that it's crazy that a team might take a look at moving up a little bit after Okuda, if the Lions are willing to move out of that spot, because he's got that kind, you know, those kind of special traits as a one-on-one lockup cover corner.
We got to run, Lance. Great stuff, man. I know we'll visit with you again as the draft approaches. Thanks for making time for us. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Thanks.